We'll do that. We'll start having a morning coffee bar. $5 a cup. Amen. All proceeds go to youth camp. That'll work, man. We can get some kids to youth camp. Oh, you'll Starbucks, what? Okay. Amen. Amen. All right. Sure, bro. Amen. Put that on my list. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We're picking it up in verse 10 of Luke 13. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then. Who? Who did this Pharisee think he was dealing with? The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask his blessing on the Sunday school hour. Brother West, you pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. All right, remembering now the context of what we're going over here, back in Luke chapter 12, we were looking at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things concerning his return. And then as we picked it up in Luke chapter 13, we see the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ did not come for Israel, why he did not reveal himself and give himself as their Messiah, and it was definitely because of their refusal to repent. As a result of their refusal to repent, the kingdom that they had so desired and so longed for was now going to fall right before their fingers. And that kingdom, that millennial reign, is pictured in the Bible by the Sabbath of all things. That Sabbath pictures the reign of Christ, the healing that he would bring to that nation. Now get the picture of this woman. And if you see that thing, it's pretty amazing. This woman is a picture of Israel. The Lord, who's here in front of these people. See, that's the thing, is they don't even to this point recognize who it is that they're dealing with. Jesus Christ had come to reveal himself to that nation as their Messiah, as God manifest in the flesh. And he's dealing with them and doing all of these miracles that he's doing primarily on the Sabbath day for a reason. Now, if you look back there in Exodus to get the gist of what we're discussing here, look back in Exodus in chapter 16, we find the first time that the word Lord and Sabbath appear together in the Scriptures. In Exodus chapter 16, and verse 23, Exodus 16 and verse 23, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Who was the Sabbath for? It was for the Lord. Look at verse 25. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto, who was it unto? The Lord. Who's right in front of them? You see, they had no excuse. The Lord had already discussed this with them. He'd already revealed this to them. If you look back in Luke, but go back now in Luke chapter 6, they are at this point without excuse. Their blindness to who Jesus Christ is only a condemnation to themselves. And here in Luke chapter 6, remember what the Lord had already said to the Jewish leadership. Luke 6 and verse 1, it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that he went through the cornfields. And his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as what David did when himself was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God and did eat, take and eat showbread, gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone? And he said unto them, now watch it, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Who's right in front of them? The Lord of the Sabbath. And yet they're going to try, this leader of the synagogue is going to try to correct the Lord of the Sabbath about the Sabbath, when the Sabbath was made for him. You see, you understand the situation here? It's called blindness. They have no idea who it is that's right in front of them, even when he's revealing who he is by the miracle that he's doing. And yet the blindness that is upon the heart of Israel. It's a sad thing. You see, look over there in Colossians chapter 2, and if you know your Bible, you know the true purpose of the Sabbath was simply for a shadow, for a sign of something for to come. And so the Sabbath is simply a picture, a sign of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shall reign as king over Israel, and Israel shall have rest for 1,000 years. That's what that Sabbath pictures. That's why God gave it to Israel, and now they are here, they are using it in an attempt to condemn and justify crucifying and rejecting their own Messiah, God's precious Son. Amazing thing. But that's what happens when God blinds someone because of their unbelief, because of their rejection of his truths. And so look there in Colossians chapter 2. What did he say? Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are, what are they? A shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. See, that Sabbath days were simply a shadow, a picture, a representation of something better to come in the future. And that Sabbath is that picture, is that representation of the reign of Jesus Christ. And you know what they did? They rejected Jesus Christ. Now think about it. What were you not to do on the Sabbath day? Are you still with me this morning? What was the thing you weren't supposed to do on the Sabbath day? Huh? What's the Lord presenting to them, giving them an opportunity to do? Cease from their own works by putting their trust and faith in Him. He's presenting Himself to them as their Sabbath. And yet, they reject Him. It's an amazing thing. You see, they're nitpicking. They're nitpicking. Why? Because it's all about the law. Look back there in Luke 11. Notice what he had said to him in Luke chapter 11. Instead of rejoicing of this woman being healed. They're going to nitpick. Well, what are you doing healing on the Sabbath? Instead of rejoicing that the woman's healed. That shows you the condition of their heart. Say, what is that? That's a result. Are you with me? That's a result of someone trying to justify themselves by the law. That's what it is. Look there in Luke chapter 11, verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. Can you imagine if somebody gave you a teaspoon of herbs? I'd like to give you this teaspoon of rue. Oh, thank you. Now let me get that on a scale. And I'm going to measure out one-tenth of that, because one-tenth of that is God's. That's what they were doing. I mean, they were down to every little detail about this, that, and the other thing when it came to the law. Except for the big things. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Fine, obey all the law. But see, they were straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, is what they were doing. Say, why? They were condemned by that law, and they didn't even see it. And the picture here is very simple. Here in Luke chapter 13, you've got this woman. Would you agree with me that this woman, being a picture of Israel, has some serious trouble? Has some serious problems. See? I don't know how many of you are familiar with Sister Betty. She's not able to make it out much anymore. But Sister Betty has got to the point now where she walks around like this. See? Her back and everything's all hunched over, and she's walking around like this now. She can't even... That's this woman here. You understand? She's bowed over. 18 years bowed over like this, walking around. Everything she's trying to do in life, this is how she's having to do it. Could you imagine? You know what the Lord's saying there? That's a picture of Israel. That's a picture of Israel right there. You know what's going to happen to Israel? They're going to go in the tribulation. They're going to be troubled. Amen? You know who's going to show up? 666. How long she had that infirmity? 18. 666. That's in chapter 13. Isn't that wild? There's 13, 666. It's Revelation 13, verse 18, 666. So what is this? This is Israel in the tribulation. That's the picture. Say, what's her problem? God talks about Jerusalem spiritually being called Sodom and Egypt. Sodom and Egypt. You know what she is? She's crooked. You know what the Lord did for her? He made her straight. You know what a Sodomite calls you if you're not a Sodomite? They call you straight. They made that up, not us. That's their term. You know why they call us straight? Because you know what they are? They're crooked. Amen. You know what this woman's problem is? She's condemned. She's under the law. And she's condemned. Look, where's she looking? You realize if you're bent over like that, you can't even look up? That's Israel. That's a picture of Israel in the tribulation. That's why they're going into the tribulation. They're condemned. The law has condemned them. It's put her on trial and found Israel guilty. Look over there in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Won't be long this morning. Isaiah 40. Give you a nice long break before service. Just a few things on this woman and how she pictures Israel. And here they are complaining about what the Lord's doing for this woman, not even realizing this woman is a picture of their nation. Isaiah 40. Look with me in verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. My people. God's desire to restore and save the nation of Israel. How they've been doing the last 2,000 years? I'll tell you how they've been doing the last 2,000 years. This is how they've been doing. What's wrong? I don't know. I know something's wrong. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong. I can't figure out what it is. Wonder where God is. I don't know. Have you seen God? I can't see him. You see him? No, I don't see him. But I think we're doing okay. Really? You sure? Yeah, I'm sure. That's Israel. They're bent over. They can't look up. We have their God, and they don't even know it. See why? We were made straight. Are you saved? You've been made straight. Israel's all bent over right now. What does he say? Verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Listen, the Lord's offering salvation to the nation. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Here it is, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight. Make straight. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be what? What's the Lord doing right there in the temple? Right there in front of that Pharisee? Right there in front of those religious leaders of Israel? What is the Lord showing them right in front of them? I am the one that can take the crooked and make it straight. I am the one that is being discussed in Isaiah chapter 40. I'm making the crooked straight right in front of your eyes. And then you're worried because I'm doing it on the Sabbath day? Say, why? They wanted the law. Give us the law. We don't want all that grace and mercy. Huh? You see, she happened to run into that day the only one who could straighten her out. There's only one that's going to be able to straighten out Israel. But it won't happen until they're willing to say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In the meantime, who are they dealing with? Look back there in Luke, in chapter 13, verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together and could no wise lift up herself. Keeps thinking she can, but she can't. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him out away to watering? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. You know who Israel's dealing with? Look over there in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 4, and his tail, that's the dragon, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and it cast them to the earth. There's a third of the angels fallen. And the dragon stood before the woman. You know who that woman is? It's Israel. That's Satan going after that woman. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. Verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now you see that thing? That's Israel in the tribulation. And it's Satan that has Israel bound. It's Satan that has Israel blind. It's Satan that has Israel bent over so that they cannot even see and know their God that formed them, that made them, that called them out from Egypt some 3,500 years earlier. And Jesus is trying to let him know, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's come to straighten you out. If you'll just let me straighten you out, all will be well. But they were stuck on that law. That was the problem. Look back there in Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. That's been Israel's condemnation the whole time. That which they thought could help and save them could only bring condemnation to them as a nation. In Exodus chapter 19, the first time God mentions the law to them. Verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. You know what Israel just did there? They just condemned themselves. We're going to keep the whole law. Really? Really? Look in chapter 24, Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all that the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. Really? Verse 7, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. And they make a covenant, a blood covenant, verse 8, concerning that thing. You know what they just did? They condemned themselves. You know what Jesus Christ has been trying to do for the nation of Israel during his earthly ministry that whole time? You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to get them out from that condemnation. He's trying to show them that he is the one that can straighten them out, that can free them from the bondage of the devil. Look over there in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John. I don't know how crooked you were before you were made straight. But every one of us, amen, were bent over. Every one of us couldn't look up. See? Say, why? We're under that condemnation. Israel's a nation's under that condemnation. Look in John chapter 1 and verse 15, John bare witness of him, cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. That's the testimony of John the Baptist. Now, what's the excuse for Israel to reject them? There is none. No excuse right there. That's witness enough. Verse 16, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace. What? What? Grace. What Israel didn't know? What didn't Israel have? What was Israel missing? They had law. And they had condemnation because of it. You know what they didn't have? You know what they hadn't found? You know what they couldn't grasp and understand? Grace. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. Watch it, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses. All that the Lord has said, we will do. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist is testifying of that to the nation of Israel. And they reject it. Jesus Christ himself is testifying of that to the nation of Israel. and they reject it. The Father, through the signs and the wonders that Jesus Christ is doing, is testifying of that, and they reject it. In the mouth of three witnesses shall every word be established. They had the witnesses. They had John. They had the Word of God. They had God the Father. They had the signs and wonders. They had Jesus Christ Himself. They rejected all the witnesses, and in so doing condemned themselves to the point now for over 2,000 years they've remained in that condition, bent over in the synagogue. But I'm keeping the Sabbath. What's the problem? And someday pretty soon, I hope, after we're out of here, Jesus Christ is going to come by and He's going to say, all right, look up. And He's going to straighten them out just like that. Boom. And all of a sudden they're going to see, buddy. They're going to see. What for the last 2,000 years they've rejected, what they missed out on. Now I want you to think about it just for a second here, and we'll close early and give you a big break between services. But I want you to think about that. That was you. That was me. You know, we were condemned by the law. We were bent over. We were. And no matter what we did, we couldn't straighten out ourselves. And one day, for each and every one of us, Jesus Christ came by and said, straighten up. Amen? And just with the power of His Word, that old crooked back just made straight, able to look up for the first time, able to walk freely like we could never walk before. Isn't it good to be saved? You understand? What a great picture of salvation in that thing. You know what? That, brethren, is the only way you truly can appreciate the Sabbath. Amen. There's the rest. There's the freedom. See? It's found when we'll allow the blessed Savior just to speak His Word, just to put His hand on us and say, straighten up. Amen. Let me fix you. You used to be crooked. Let me make you straight. Amen? I'm glad I'm straight. Amen. It beats being crooked. All right, we'll stand for prayer.